The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Chris Sims is the guy you have trust in, but it ain't just rhymes that he's busting. Every single year it's imperative that we go ahead and bust your damn narrative.
Oh!
B-Rabbit, B-Rabbit.
Oh, baby, that's right. Nope, that was not one of your favorite rappers. That was Ahmed Farid, okay?
Maybe it was.
Yeah, I mean, you know B-Rabbit?
No idea.
Are you kidding me?
No idea.
Are you kidding me?
It's a movie, right?
Yes. The name of the movie is not B-Rabbit, okay? It's a movie about a rapper. The song won an Oscar.
Eminem?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes, he's B-Rabbit.
And I'm a big Eminem guy.
No, you're not a big Eminem guy. I mean, you grew up in Detroit and you haven't seen 8 Mile?
I have not, no.
What is wrong with you? You're so amazingly awesome in so many ways, and this
you.
Is just yeah. such a bad category for you.
I missed the window. It's like I missed the window for that movie. Like Godfather, I missed the window for that movie, but you brought me back in.
Yeah, thank you.
You made me watch it again.
You seem very happy about that.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. But I was happy that we were able to bring rapping into the pod.
Me too.
We have rarely done that, if ever. And maybe it will be a normal thing now.
Yeah. No, I hope it's not a normal thing for the sake of our viewers, even though you are very creative with your rhymes.
Yeah.
Don't make me beatbox again. Okay, that's really.
I gave you the option of doing this on the table.
That
would have
been worse, too.
That.
No, negative. Your words were very good and creative. I liked the smooth delivery.
Yeah.
It might have been the beat in the background that was just as bad. And, like, you know, 8 Mile was 2002.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Like, I don't know.
Too long ago. I missed it.
I
missed it.
I don't know what window you were in at that time. What? You were in a house with no windows. I've been secluded.
I've been reading books lately. I was telling you about the book today.
Yep.
About how to breathe better.
How to breathe. Yes.
So I'll share info with that.
Interesting.
More useful than me watching.
No, I don't know about
for you.
That.
For you, it might be.
Okay.
But one big thing in our family right now, and your kids are going to school, but they're going in person, right?
They are right now.
So my first grader is online as we speak right now, first day of first grade. And from what I can tell, all the teachers, all the students, all the parents will be want to be in person by next week. I don't think... This is hard for all the, you know, all the families out there that have young kids that are, you know, trying to figure out how to make this work. I don't know if it can work.
I don't think
it can work.
It's a big stress on the family. I can't even imagine, especially if you have two working parents, right?
100%. I don't know how you even do it then.
That's ridiculous. And I know, yes, my wife, she doesn't work. She's full-time, you know, homemaker, cares for me and the kids and all that. And, yeah, it was hard on her last year. You know, she's trying to, you know, cook the kids breakfast and me breakfast and help them with homework. And then it's okay. She's got a few things to do. And there's still homework going on. But yet the kids are yelling, hey, Mom, I want lunch. And it's just like it is. It's a lot. It's very stressful
on
the parents. The
first hour.
I am sending my kids back, though. My little boy wants to go back.
They're going back, yeah. They're all going to want to go back soon.
He wants to go back. So that's good. Now, he goes to a private school that's really cool, and I think they can pull it up. My little girl goes to a public school. She wants back.
Yeah.
She does not want to do the in-school learning. So they're going to have the proper setup. We'll see how it goes. But
I'm hopeful that we can get everyone back because the first, I swear, the first 30 minutes of the Zoom call was, all right, Billy, you see the blue box? That's unmute. Click it. Nope, didn't get it. All right, Rebecca. No, didn't get it.
Oh, my gosh.
Brutal. Brutal. Almost as brutal as hearing us talk about it for the last 5 minutes.
Sorry about that.
So here we go. Okay, we got a good one.
Here we go.
Today, because we got news off the top. We'll talk about the Jaguars, what's going on there.
Sure.
Yannick Ngakoue. You got Leonard Fournette, now a former Jaguar. Like a lot of people, it's a badge of honor in the NFL. It's like you go to college, you play, you become a Jaguar, you become a former Jaguar, and then you go and you play. And then we're going to do, this is a big deal. We got the over-under for win totals in the entire AFC. We're going to go through it. Every team.
Okay.
You're ready for that.
I'm ready for
You're prepared for it.
I think so.
Okay. And I'm going to give my pick, too.
Okay.
And we're going to see who's right.
Okay.
We're going to see if by the end of this year, if
whose over-unders are we going from?
So the ones that Pete put in the rundown.
Okay, just Pete putting them in.
Yeah.
Because he didn't go.
Pete, where'd you get them from?
That's a sports book.
A sports book. Okay, a sports book.
Okay. Right here. All right. FanDuel/DraftKings, he said.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
We named them.
Okay, good.
Might have to bleep.
All right, what do you want to start?
So let's start out with the Jacksonville Jaguars news.
Yeah.
So we got Yannick Ngakoue got traded. Which was a move that we didn't know that the Jaguars were going to be able to make.
Right.
Right. Now, Yannick Ngakoue is a great player. It seems like a lot of teams would want him, but they wanted a high price. They got it, apparently, for what they were looking for from the Minnesota Vikings. Second-round pick, looks like a conditional fifth-round pick next year, the year after that.
Could be something better than that. Right.
Who knows exactly.
Yep.
He's got to take a pay cut.
That was one of the
Mike
shockers
Mike Florio
of this.
Thinks that there's a chance that Yannick is going to look at that ultimately and say, no, I don't want that, actually. I'll go back and play for $17 million with Jacksonville as opposed to $12 million with Minnesota. So that maybe could still happen. But first of all, let's talk about Minnesota.
Yeah.
And if this deal goes through, what they're getting, how much of an upgrade is Yannick Ngakoue?
Well, he's a huge upgrade for them, that's for sure. I mean, again, this is a team that's going to look different on the defensive side of the ball this year. I think that's the first thing you got to kind of take into account.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a Mike Zimmer defense, and listen, may it look a little different this year because Dom Capers is there to help out and be one of the defensive assistants, and maybe they're going to throw a little more splash of creativity into it, which is Dom Capers' MO a little. Hey, maybe. So we'll see where it goes. But regardless, what I do know of Mike Zimmer's defense is he's not a heavy blitz type guy. It's about his front four getting there and him dropping seven or, hey, we rushed five instead of four, and now we're going to drop six and play a creative zone behind it or match up and play some sort of man, whatever that is. But it's hard to play that style when really there's only really one marquee defensive lineman on the defensive line. You know, that just doesn't go down.
Right.
You can't play that style of defense and then go, well, our defensive line is, they're pretty average, but somehow we'll get pressure. No, you won't. So I think from that standpoint, that's where it needed to be done. Losing Linval Joseph in the offseason, Michael Pierce was supposed to come in and be that replacement. He opted out because of COVID-19. Everson Griffin, him being gone, I think they had a hope of that. So I think when Mike Zimmer got into camp here, he went, whoa, okay, hey, I got some good defensive linemen here, but I don't have one guy that can make a play, maybe might change an offensive game plan, put stress on the offensive line of the other team. And if I want to play this way and have young corners this year, because that's what they're doing, Mike Hughes, who I love coming out of Central Florida, but he had a battle an ACL injury a few years ago, so he's just getting back into the swing of things, so he's kind of an unproven commodity. Mm-hmm. Then you have the Holden Hill from Texas, longer guy, and Jeff Gladney. None of those guys are proven commodities yet. So you'd like to think like, hey, let's not like start the year with we can't get any pressure and they got to cover for 7 seconds every play. How about we get some guys?
So with Danielle Hunter, Ngakoue can put that defense on his back.
I don't know about on the back, but I think it certainly changes the overall look and the dimensions of the defense.
It helps
as far
out
as
everyone else.
It really does.
Yeah.
I think that's the big thing. And it'll even help out their defensive tackles, which I don't expect that play to be as good as in years past. Mm-hmm. Where, hey, if you have a, average defensive end out here, you might tinker around and go, okay, we got Daniel Hunter out there. We got a good tackle on him. Our back's going to chip him. Mm-hmm. All right. And now, ooh, wait, Linval Joseph's inside. Well, we might need to double team him this week. And, you know, we don't have to worry about the other guy on the other edge. Now that changes it into where it might free up some of the inside guys and make life easier on them. I just think it makes them a better overall defense. It certainly fits the scheme of what Minnesota wants to do. Right. They needed that other playmaker, certainly on the front four. And I think the last thing I'll say, too, is, you know, this is a team that wants to play this style of football. You know, you can't play, oh, we're going to play through our defense and play running, you know, have a running attack and kind of chew up the clock style football and then have a below average front four. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that ain't going to work. You're going to run the ball and waste a lot of time while the other team goes down and scores on you, and then you're going to run the ball and waste a lot of time and the other team's going to get the ball and go down and score on you. So you have to – the way their team is built, you know, it makes sense. And then to get that with the pay cut, I think it just tells you how desperate Yannick Ngakoue was to get out of Jacksonville, not wanting to deal with that. And from what I've known throughout this whole process, the only team I heard that I substantially could – put a name to Yannick Ngakoue from people I knew around the NFL. The Raiders were the only other team I had heard that were really involved in this. Florio says he knows of another team. I don't know who that is. But
he won't tell you.
He said he wasn't going to give up that source today. So maybe that'll come out during the week or whatever that is.
I thought you guys were close.
Not with everything.
Yeah, I mean, what Minnesota should have done is they should have gone back in 2016 and taking him, because they took 15 picks after the Vikings, or after, so this was the Vikings had a pick, 15 picks before
Ngakoue
went. And they took Mackenzie Alexander, the cornerback out of Clemson.
Yeah, who's not there anymore.
Ngakoue. Yeah, should have just taken Ngakoue there. I mean,
they didn't have the need then, though. So you
didn't have the need
that.
All right, you're going to cover for him. So Ngakoue, so I looked up since he came into the league, he has 14 forced fumbles.
Right.
That is fourth most in the league in that span behind Chandler Jones, Khalil Mack, and T.J. Watt. Since he was drafted, 37.5 sacks. That's 12th most in the league in that span. Chandler Jones has 60. He leads the league in that span. Danielle Hunter is third.
Right.
In
give
that
me some.
Span.
Do you have other names in that list?
In
or
the sack
no?
one? Yeah. No, I don't.
Okay, you just
I
went
don't.
With the Narky.
Chandler
That's
Jones
okay.
is 60, and then Pete's looking it up as we speak right now. So I mean, those two categories, elite. Do you think Ngakoue's best days are behind him now? What he did right there, is that going to be tough to replicate, or can he keep doing that in Minnesota?
No, I think he's in the prime of his career. I do. You know, I do. I think he's you got a guy that I think is just, you know, hitting the peak prime of his career and has a lot of years left. Now, one of the big issues about trading for Yannick Ngakoue that we didn't address off the top is, you know, it was hard for Jacksonville to get the deal they wanted because, okay, yeah.
If you didn't get a first-round pick.
No, but you're trading for a guy who you're not guaranteed to have for more than one year. You know, they can franchise tag him next year and have to do that. That's going to be a pretty penny if you want to keep him for that.
Sure.
And that's also going to be the basis of where long-term contract terms start to get discussed, too, because that franchise tag number is going to be thrown into the mix to where, Yannick Ngakoue and his representation are going to go, wait, we're going to make this year, no matter what. So that's going to add a wrinkle into things, certainly. So what did you ask me?
Well, you wanted to know the sack totals,
right? Yeah, well, and I think that's about where he is.
But you think that, can he improve on what he's about? What we've seen is what they're getting and should get for the next few years.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think he is
if
kind of
him.
In that category of I don't ever expect him to lead the NFL in sacks.
Okay.
But do I expect him to be somewhere between 8 and 14 sacks for a number of years here to come? Yes, I do. Now, the other thing we'll throw into this and what I said on TV today with Yannick Ngakoue a little bit is he is a little bit of a one-trick pony. You know, and to me, he's 12th with sacks, right? I think if we went along those defensive players and went, all right, so how does he play against the run? He's going to be deeper than 12th. He's high 240 pounds. He's not a real big man. His game is predicated on speed, getting around the edge, beating you that way, which
so
is great value.
Can you keep him on the field?
You can.
As much as some of the other guys?
You can, but you're going to have to at times probably be cognizant of where do we have him and what's his responsibility in the run game? Yeah, there's going to be some of that, you know. I know we even had that at times with Tampa Bay and Simeon Rice where there were certain matchups and the way a team lined up where they would go, that's not, that's not Simeon's bread and butter. We got to find a way to kick the linebackers over there. Or Derek Brooks, you take this responsibility, and we're going to change Simeon's responsibility. Those are things they might have to deal with that. But regardless, they got him to rush the passer and get after guys that way.
So here are the names on the sack list.
Yeah.
Since he came into the league, that was in 2016.
Right.
Chandler Jones first. He's got 60 sacks since then.
Stud.
Aaron Donald. Then you got Danielle Hunter, Cam Jordan, Von Miller, Ryan Kerrigan, 42 and a half.
Ooh.
Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, Frank Clark, Calais Campbell, Mario Addison, and then Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, I mean,
I'd take any of those guys.
I would, too. I definitely would, too. And some of those guys, you know, got those stats 2016, 2017, when Yannick just got it and now have fallen off a little bit,
yeah,
or certainly aren't that in that class anymore.
Everson Griffin, 14th on that list. The guy Pete notes he's replacing.
Is that, yeah, okay. 14th, so, yeah. I mean, you know, when you look at Yannick Ngakoue and you break it down, it's 8 sacks, it's 12 sacks, it's 9.5 sacks, mm-hmm, it's 8 sacks, right? And I think that's basically about the type of player I expect him to be at.
Okay.
And listen, you got to remember, he had these sacks and some of this production with, I mean, fucking top-notch talent around him. So you can't forget about that either. You know, it's a little different to me than, like, the guy who's, like, you know, the lone unicorn on his defense,
yeah,
is still putting up those numbers, like a Chandler Jones, as compared to, wait, you had how many Pro Bowlers next to you?
Yeah.
Wait, you had how many mismatches on the D-line that the other teams had? Oh, we had to worry about Dante Fowler and Calais Campbell and,
yep,
Marcell Dareus and Miles Jack
and
Telvin
a good
Smith
secondary where he
and
got some secondary
the best
sacks
secondary
too
in football,
yeah,
early in his career there. I mean, it was the best. So
here's a pop quiz for you.
Pop quiz.
This is Pete that Pete put this in here. The Jaguars have two defensive starters remaining from the 2017 AFC Championship team. Can you name those
Miles
two?
Miles Jack is one.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. All right. Miles Jack is one. The safeties are gone.
Church, Gibson, gone.
Yeah, they're gone. Hold on. Who the freak am I missing here? The defensive lineman? I mean, Calais is gone. Fowler, Dev's gone. Yannick Ngakoue is gone. Telvin Smith is gone.
Gone.
Holy.
Malik Jackson?
Gone.
Gone.
Who is it?
Avery Jones.
Avery Jones, a defensive tackle. Damn. Wow. That's unbelievable. You know what? I didn't really put him in the starting category that year. I wasn't sure if he started or not. But, yeah, that's pretty unbelievable. And I would have never expected that defense right there to have such a short run and really only win two playoff games, and then we never hear about them ever,
yeah,
again.
Why couldn't they keep them together? What was the, you know, impetus for breaking that defense up?
Well,
I
think couldn't pay them all. They wasted years with Blake Bortles and wasted,
yeah,
the trying to justify that pick and do all of that. And to me, that is the basis of it. I look at it and go, you wasted 2016, 2017, and 2018 all because of Blake Bortles. And again, that's why the Blake Bortles 70 came out.
Yep.
I got so fucking frustrated because I went, Jacksonville's defense is dominating teams every week. And then you look up and, oh, they lost, 20-10. And, you know, people would look at the stats and go, oh, well, how did they lose? I mean, Blake Bortles had a good game. He threw for 285 yards. Yeah, when the game was over, it was 20-0, and he drove them down for a touchdown and a field goal late and got 210 yards in the last two drives of the game when the other team was on the side making hamburgers. Like, and they were using it to justify it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's my problem with Jacksonville here, too. What are we going to do with some of this stuff? Got to start making a team. How many fucking years are we going to go with top 10 picks and we're going to only have one playoff appearance?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've been picking in the top 10 other than the 2018 draft.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like my whole life.
They got Ke'Lavon Chase on. You liked him a lot.
Well, I wonder if that plays into this, too. Now, the draft, they killed it this year. Yeah, I love it.
C.J. Henderson they got first
round. Yes,
round.
I loved him. You know that. But I do wonder if this was part of the Yannick Ngakoue, I'll take a little bit less money, because Florio's going out of his mind. He's like, how do you just take $5 million off? He,
yeah,
goes, I would have just gone back to Jacksonville and been like, I'm here.
Yeah.
Give me my $1 million a week because I'm supposed to make $17 million.
Right.
But maybe he felt like they were going to stick it to him.
They weren't going to play him.
Maybe not play him. I mean, he did get in a spat with the owner. He obviously didn't like being there.
Yep.
You know, so there was a real issue there. And maybe he also heard how talented those other two guys are. I mean, you could sit here last year and go, well, the best defense end on the Jaguars last year was Josh Allen, the first-round pick from two drafts ago. And you know I love the Caleb Von Chasen guy, too, coming out. He's like a Yannick Ngakoue, except he's stronger and more explosive. Hmm. So maybe he heard enough from guys, too, to go, dude, I'm not sure you're going to have a starting spot when you come back here. You might just be part of the rotation, which is then would hurt also his stock
future
as far
earnings.
As he's there. So maybe he just took it all into calculation and said, you know, that's shit. I don't like it there, and it doesn't sound like it's that good for me anymore. I need to get the fuck out of here. I'll take the pay cut. Let me move on with life.
From Brian Wong, he says, Chris, please make sure to give the Jaguars the credit they deserve in your next episode. You claimed they couldn't get anything higher than a third rounder. Jaguars made out like bandits on this one.
Yeah.
Duval,
well, I don't think I'm that wrong. I mean, I didn't know Yannick Ngakoue was going to take $5.5 million off his price tag.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I think that certainly helped it to be a second rounder.
Yeah.
So very fortunate that way that they found a team that was desperate enough that, like, whoa, our team can't be the team we want it to be unless we fill this position with somebody of quality. And they got fortunate to find the Minnesota Vikings for that.
So real quick, before we get on to your win totals for every team in the AFC, not win totals, you're over-under on the win totals.
You made me really
nervous.
Sorry, because I was like, was I supposed to have these win totals? Because we might have to stop the
pod. I kind of want you to do that because I want to add them up and see if they all equal out, like you've said before.
You come up with the algorithm on the Excel sheet, and I'll do that.
I can do that. It's simple formula.
Sure you can.
Add and subtract.
Sure, sure.
Before we get to that, I do this. So Jacksonville, like, where are they going? So that you got – later on in the day, later on your show, I mean, Leonard Fournette, they cut him.
Woo!
So he's gone.
Woo!
They couldn't trade him, apparently. So that you say, like, oh, man, all these teams are going to be knocking themselves or trying to get Leonard Fournette. They didn't trade for him. They said Doug Marrone says they couldn't get a fifth round or sixth round or anything for
him. I'm really surprised.
Surprising.
By that. Yes.
Surprising. Maybe they knew that the Jaguars would just cut him eventually.
Yeah, but you also, you know, throw in the risk of if they just
another team getting
gonna get him through claiming him through waivers.
So it's a little head scratching there. But where are the Jacksonville Jaguars going here? Are they tanking for Trevor? Are they flopping for Fields?
Yeah, they're in a rebuild mode for sure. They are, and you know, I think in their heart of hearts, it's a no lose situation. Yeah, the season falls apart. Okay, we got Trevor Lawrence. Now, Doug Marrone and, you know, Caldwell, I don't know if they'll be there to see that if it falls apart too drastically.
Yeah.
But clearly are in a rebuild, retool type mode for their football team.
They have to feel they have some security, though, to make these trades and these moves the last couple years.
It Jalen would make Ramsey you and, yeah. think or wonder, certainly.
Yeah.
Because you're right. You're sitting here making moves where you go, wait, are we going to still be here to benefit from these moves we're making? These are aggressive, big-time moves. And, hey, look, Jalen Ramsey, they deserve all the credit in the world. They killed it in that trade. And they did pretty damn good in this one, too. I'm shocked that no one wanted to trade for Leonard Fournette. I am. Now, I know he's got some off-the-field issues. And, you know, there's been some issues, I think, more than even have been, you know, made public down there in Jacksonville to a degree. You know, from things I've heard, they've caught him in lies. And, of course, he had the, you know, run on the field incident and a few other things that I've heard that have gone on down there that I don't think are his best look. And maybe that hurt his ability out in the trade market.
Marrone's saying that wasn't a part of it. He's saying it was strictly football. He didn't fit their offense. That's at least what he's saying.
So let's dive into that, too, because that was something Mike brought up. But I understand that. That's true. Like, he's not a Jay Gruden guy. But I don't know. I mean, last time I checked, 230-pound running backs who run 4.4 flat and can run 80-yard time, they fit in any fucking offense. So
you figure it out.
So to me, there's more of an issue there than he's letting on. Doug Marrone's a great players coach. He's not going to sell any of these guys down the road. Even if Leonard Fournette was in his office every day, like, hey, what the fuck? Why aren't I in on third down? Why aren't I getting more reps in practice? I don't think Doug Marrone would ever tell the truth of what happened there. I think he's good that way. I really do. I think he's always – I mean, look how he went down with Jalen Ramsey last year. He got in a fight with Jalen Ramsey on the sideline. He still never said anything negative about Jalen Ramsey when he was on his team and they knew they were going to trade him. So I don't – all that's bullcrap to me right now. I do think there was obviously an issue that they felt like, whoa, we'll just let him go. I mean, Leonard Fournette is a specimen, and I would think that –
You threw Pittsburgh out there.
I think, like, I would think that there's going to be a number of claims on him on waivers, or if they haven't, like, filed the released paperwork right now, that I would think a few teams might be calling and be like, whoa, you're going to release him? whoa, okay, wait, we're on waivers. We're like 19 and 20. Mm-hmm. You know, like the Pittsburgh Steelers.
But was Mike saying, and I watched you guys talk about it, he was saying he doesn't need to pass through waivers because
he was wrong, Mike. He had to correct himself at the end of the show. Got it. Because he's only going into year four, so he has to pass through waivers.
Got it.
And that'll be interesting. I think a number of teams are going to clamor for him. Yes, Pittsburgh is one of those teams I look at and go.
But it usually goes, how does it go in football? Is the worst teams get
worst
that
goes first?
Yeah.
So,
Pittsburgh.
They're like 18 or 19. Yeah. You're right. That's going to be dicey.
That'd be tough.
You know, but you look at the top of the draft, like Detroit, your Detroit Lions. Like, I don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you got
Although,
two.
Swift
is
got hurt.
Right. Reds, Washington, excuse me. Yeah. Holy shit.
That's bad.
They could
you have
be
to
in
leave
it
for 5 minutes.
They
now.
Could be in it.
Yeah.
They don't have
For
a lot
sure.
there, right? So maybe they're a team early on in the draft. The number one team, the Bengals from the draft, I don't think they're doing it. That was Joe Mixon. I mean, he's a stud.
Washington really, seems like.
Could be.
Why wouldn't they?
Right.
Right. Why wouldn't they?
Right. Miami at 5. I even brought up the Chargers at 6. But if I'm the Steelers, I think that changes your team.
Yeah.
Again, I just want to say this about Leonard Fournette. I know people look at him a little bit as a bust. Like, he didn't live up to his top 5 billing. I understand that. But we've already, like, what is there in Jacksonville there to help him? There was no pass game. It was Blake Bortles. He had 10 people at the line of scrimmage. Have we had offensive linemen leave Jacksonville where we've just been like, that was the greatest offensive line we've ever seen. How could they? No. So there's been nothing special there. The only offensive lineman that's left Jacksonville worth a damn was Andrew Norwell, who signed a big deal with the Carolina Panthers. Other than that. So there's nothing there to help him, too. All I'm going to say is, there's not many people on earth that are built like him.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of my sayings. But 6 foot, 6'1", 230, could be in the conversation for the fastest guy on your team and just about any team he goes and plays on. You know, he's a home run hitter. I mean, go back, watch Denver last year. Watch those games. I mean, 80-yard touchdowns, big runs, makes people miss, can run you over. I just think this is a gem to be had as long as – some of these teams maybe know some stories that I don't know behind the scenes. Maybe he's a worse individual or teammate than I realize, right. But I haven't heard enough of that.
Played 13 games his first year.
Right.
8 games his second year, but 15 last year.
Yeah.
So was healthy last year and ran for over 1,000 yards, 1,100 yards.
4.5 or 6 million for a guy of his caliber. And, last year running for 1,100 yards with quarterbacks being changed, receivers being hurt, offensive linemen in and out. I mean, I think there's more special to this player than.
And it's 1 year,
and
too.
It's
you
one
can
year.
Run him to death if you really wanted to.
Exactly
you
right.
Have no long-term commitment with him.
You're right.
Yeah,
exactly
I think,
right.
I think he goes to Washington.
Yeah, okay, that's your
my
bet?
Pick. That's my pick.
All right.
In a podcast where we're going to be making picks, a lot of them.
I like that,
because
though.
We're moving on here. We talked more about Jacksonville and Ngakoue than I thought here. So this pop.
I'm going to say Chargers, okay?
Oh, okay.
All you right. go Skins.
I'll go.
Washington.
No!
Shit. I really have an issue.
What do we have to do?
You don't understand. It's a life of growing up in the NFC East with the Giants and Washington. I just, it's like, whoa.
So you're going to, we're going
to have
to
do
something.
I have to put something on the table.
Yeah.
Swear jar, something like that. You're
I think
right.
physical pain needs to be involved.
Oh, you
know,
do?
Like that. Well, you know, like the rubber band where people snap their wrist.
Okay.
But something more than that.
Okay. Well, I'll do that if you want, as long as it doesn't leave permanent marks on me. I'm okay with that.
Because we got to clean that up.
Okay.
Okay. So you think Chargers.
I'm going to say Chargers. I think him with Austin Ekeler, Anthony Lynn's an ex-running back. They've been talking about playing defense and run game.
And the Chargers were 5-11 last year.
They were the sixth pick. So they'll have early dibs. Right.
Okay. That's I'm going to go Washington.
Okay.
State.
I like it. That's a good pick.
Okay. All right. Here are your. Let's do your over-unders. I keep wanting to say win totals to freak you out here. We got the over-unders for every team in the AFC.
Where are we starting? AFC East?
And let's go through them. Yep, let's do the AFC East. So, and let's just start top to bottom. Let's go from Patriots. 12-4 last year. Their over-under is 9.5. For the first time since 2001, they're going to start a season without TB12. As their starting quarterback, 9.5 for the Patriots.
Ooh, wow.
Lost 8 players to opt-outs.
8 players to opt-outs.
Lost Kyle Van Noy.
Have the hardest schedule in football, or it's one of the hardest. I know that. 9.5 is it's right around that range. To me, I envision it. I'm going to say over. Ooh, okay. I'm gonna give it a 10-6 type of season. That's what I mean, that's a perfect number. I think you'll have a few weeks here and there where, yeah, things are sluggish or they don't execute the right way. But I'm expecting the Patriots to be like one of those teams where, you know, yeah, they had some moments of not looking good early, had a few games where we went, whoa, this looks really good, and it all starts to come together in December where we start to get towards playoff time and go, oh, crap. Cam Newton and Billy Boy might have something going here. They might have finally found the formula and everything like that. So, I'm not counting the Patriots out of this mix yet.
And it's hard to count them out, right? A team that's won the division that many years in a row, and you feel like they'll just figure out a way to do it. And Cam might be. I mean, this could be a great story for Cam, coming back this year and being that resurgent quarterback that they need coming into Tom Brady's old stomping ground. But does he have enough around him? And we're going to do a video after we're done here where we look at Josh McDaniels and what he may be able to scheme up with that offense.
Right.
I mean, does he have enough around him, or will he have to be like that Cam from old where it's just like he takes the game on his own shoulders and brings him to a win?
I think there's enough around him. I think, you know, we're going to have to rely on the guys like N'Keal Harry and N'Keal Harry to, like, show up as a first-round pick from last year's draft to be, like, part of the offense. Yeah. But I think, you know, the biggest thing is he's going to be with a coaching staff that understands how to give a schematical advantage all the time. And I think that's going to be really refreshing for him. Mm-hmm. I expect the offensive line to be better. They need Sony Michel to be, you know, hitting close to 100%. But, yeah, when you talk to me about, you know, Edelman, N'Keal Harry, Damir Bird, Marquise Lee opted out. Who's the other receiver I'm missing up? I got to pull up their roster real quick. It's driving me crazy. Hold on.
Pull up the team.
But, yeah, there's enough there to me to where I look at it and go, they should be fine. Oh, Mohamed Sanu, that was the guy I'm missing. Right. So when I look at it from that standpoint, and you've heard me talk a little bit, Edelman, N'Keal Harry, Sanu, man, interchangeable guys, all can run speed sweeps, quarterback passes, run over the middle, catch physical balls, a lot of by committee approach that I think is very effective.
Prop bet, who has more passing yards this year, Cam or Tom Brady?
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah, I expect it to be that.
That's a slam dunk.
Yeah, and especially, you know, we just talked about question marks with the passing help around Cam. There's no question marks with that in Tampa, added to the fact that the question mark in Tampa is the run game. Mm-hmm. So that's just going to, me, add to more passing and more yards like that for him.
I'm going to go under just because I feel like you lose enough players at a certain point, it just falls apart.
Yeah.
And they've lost enough in free agency and the opt-outs, and if Cam's not a fit, I feel like there's more downside risk for the Patriots than upside risk.
Yeah, okay.
And so I'd go under.
My biggest concern with all their opt-outs is just Dante Hightower. That's really the only one I look at.
Patrick Chung.
Yeah, I could deal with that. Yeah. They have a ton of safeties. And Patrick Chung, is as much as I love him, is not a special player anymore. He's special brains player, no. So I look at that and then maybe Marcus Cannon, who opted out. As the two positions where I just go Hightower and Market, where I go, ooh, that hurt them. Everything else I still think is very manageable.
Okay, so you go over 9.5, I go under. Bills, a lot of people think the Bills, this is their year to finally pass the Patriots. They were 10-6 last year. Their over and under is 8.5.
Whoa, went down. Well, that's easy for me. I'm going over there.
Yeah, I am too.
You know, I could see them both, the Bills and the Patriots, both being 10-6 and going to tiebreakers or head-to-head matchups as far as who wins that game and things like that. But, I expect this Bills team, the roster, everything I like about it. I mean, there's nothing not to like about it. And then I think my one question with them was, you've heard me say as the starting running back, them with Zach Moss and Singletary together. I mean, I just like it. I'm very bullish on the Bills.
So they added Stephon Diggs to the offense this year. The defense, I mean, the question in the past for the Bills is the defense good enough to carry them?
Yeah. I don't think you have to worry about that
You don't
anymore.
Have to worry about this year. You think Josh Allen takes the next step. You think he and Stephon Diggs, they help each other, and that offense can actually win games for him and not just prevent them from losing.
I think so. I think that's what I expect is, the run game's not working today. Okay, fine. Josh Allen and the offense, they'll throw the ball over the field and be fine. You know, I just think, between that and they have a very good, young, really potentially dominant offensive line. And if they can kind of take the next step this year with Josh Allen, I go, ooh, shit, watch out for this group.
Okay. They added some guys on defense that Sean McDermott knew from over in his days in Carolina.
Phenomenal. Like
Vernon Butler, Mario Addison.
Great signings by them. Great. Those are like such under the radar good signings. Who else? Anybody else we're missing in there in free agency that jumped out to you as far as names?
There are a couple there. I didn't write them
down. Yeah, I got them here in front of you. Mario Addison, you said that. Vernon Butler. Oh, Quentin Jefferson.
Yeah.
From the Seahawks. Another just big fucker to play defensive tackle or defense end. You know, they're growing on trees there. And then Josh Norman, they got him, too, to help out the secondary a little bit.
Right now. But
yeah, they're playing chess up there in Buffalo the last few years. I like what they're doing.
I like Sean McDermott. Seems like a good dude, and I like what they got going here. An emphatic over.
Over. Yeah, that was way 8-5.
8.5 emphatic over.
Seems low to me.
All right, so Jets. We got the Jets now. 7-9 last year. Their over-under went down. 6.5. They've lost a lot. Right, Jamal Adams, they lost in the trade. C.J. Mosley opted out. So defense, which was the second best defense against the rush last year, they got holes this year. I don't know. They did try to bolster the offensive line, right? Re-sign Alex Lewis. They got George Fant, Connor McGovern, Mekhi Becton. They drafted. Trying to give Sam Darnold some protection, but 6.5.
Man. Yeah, it's good. It's right where I'm going to probably go under here, though. I mean, that's where, to me, I look at them and go 7-9, 6-10. And if you're going to make me pick, I'm going to pick 6-10, especially with the way the year starts out. Mm-hmm. The fact that they got to go to Buffalo, the 49ers come here to New York, and then they got to go to the Indianapolis Colts. That's a pretty tough first three games, let alone the Broncos or the week after that. Where I just worry about the Jets, it's very easy. You know, in a league where, you know, passing and coverage is an issue, they don't have a shutdown corner, nor do they have a receiver that I look at as a game breaker yet. Now, the offensive line will be improved, but we got to also see where the running backs are at. I mean, I haven't seen Le'Veon Bell be worth a damn in 2 years. So
he took a rep with the second team.
So there's right. So, I mean, Frank Gore, and, you know, I love Frank Gore too, but I mean, I'm not sitting here like, oh, I'm so excited to see Frank Gore in year 74 with the Jets. Like, I got the questions there. I just don't know.
So if it all falls apart for the Jets this year, everyone's going to blame Sam Darnold and say they got to go get Trevor Lawrence.
It sounds like everyone's going to blame Sam Darnold and Adam Gase. And I just want to say this is year one of a rebuild right now. And I think they've taken some major steps in the right direction. I think they're like one of those teams, 6-10, pain in the ass for a lot of teams, and probably lose like two or three heartbreakers. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of how I envision it.
I'm going to go under as well. You made a good case.
All right, there. Thank you.
You convinced me.
Okay.
Last team.
It's a tough one, though.
That is a tough one.
It is.
But I think, like the Patriots, I think there's more downside risk, right? It seems like there are scenarios you can picture in your mind, maybe because they're the Jets, of how it all falls apart.
You're right.
And they don't get close to 6.5. Dolphins, it almost all fell apart last year.
Yeah.
But they were able to finish strong. They were 5-11 last year. They spent some money on defense. They got the Cowboys' Byron Jones there. They got a great secondary, right?
Xavier Howard.
Then they drafted Noah Igbinoghene.
From TCU, right?
Did I get that? Did I do that right?
Yeah, it's TCU, right? Is it TCU?
Auburn.
Auburn. That's Auburn. Sorry, yes. Thinking about Minnesota.
Last year, they were last in the NFL in sack percentage, but perhaps they can have some coverage sacks this year because of that great secondary.
Yep.
All right, so their number is 6.5. 6.5, that's a healthy, because, I mean, last year we wouldn't have been surprised if they won two games, three games. They won five. Now they're over under 6.5. Oof, it's kind of high. I like them, but it's kind of high.
I tend to want to go over here, too.
Oh, you want to go over this?
I mean, under. Under. I want to go under. I tend to want to go under here, yeah. I just don't know if I really feel like they're ready for prime time quite yet. There's a lot to like about them. Fitzpatrick, as streaky as he is, the Shan Gailey hiring, I got to see how that goes. I did not love that. Do I think that defense is going to be damn good and a pain in the ass? Yeah, I think they're going to be a pain in the ass, but I don't know if it's going to be, like, dominant yet. That's where, like, they're going to cover some people. Maybe
do they need to be dominant, though? That offense isn't bad. They can put up some numbers and points.
You're right. But, again, I would go, okay, who they're relying on is Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's the streakiest quarterback in the history of the sport, Devontae Adams, who has an injury history, and Matt Breida, who has an injury history at running back. So there's, like, some question marks there. I just think between looking at that, I just look at it as a young team with a lot of potential headed in the right direction. A little bit – you know, like the Jets in a lot of ways, where I go, ooh, yeah, they're going to be 6-10. They're going to be a lot of big plays and kind of fun, a pain in the ass, but going to lose some close games. Mm-hmm. And especially I think, like, they're going to lose some other games too where, okay, you know, we're 3-6. The season's over. Let's go with Tua now. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to lose a game or two with Tua because he's a rookie and getting his feet underneath him, yeah. Right? I don't expect him to make, like, some run and go 8-0 with Tua or anything like that. So, yeah, that's where I look at it. I go to watch out for the Dolphins in 2021. That's where I would say.
Okay. So you're saying under here.
I am going under.
You're going under 6.5.
Man,
because
they're all
tough. Because it was so tough for you, they are. I mean, Vegas knows what they're doing, don't they?
Shit.
it's like that's your every day. You're like, that's a good line. That's where about where I'd put it. They don't want to lose money. I'm going to go over. I'm just to disagree with you.
Yeah,
and also
ahead.
Because
don't,
I feel like if my prediction on the Patriots kind of falling apart is true, maybe the Dolphins pick up some of those.
I am big, as you know, and anybody that's ever listened to me, on the starting schedule.
Oh, like the momentum out of the gates, first 4 weeks.
So the Dolphins, like the Jets, that's really what scares me. Mm. Patriots, Bills, okay, Jaguars. All right, you could beat them. Right. I know that. But then it's Seattle, San Francisco,
The
Broncos, the Chargers, the Rams. So that's where I just go, ooh. And there's if you're watching on YouTube right now, there you go. To where, you know, if you sat there and went, ooh, the Dolphins, they got out to a 1-6 start. I'd go, I'm
and after
not
that,
shocked.
It's tough to come back from it, that.
Yeah, so you might win a few games, but it's hard. Ooh. It's hard.
All right, I'm sticking with my pick, but that's a great point. That scares me. That makes me feel like I'm immediately wrong. Okay.
Never know.
Okay, let's go to the AFC North. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's start with the Ravens. They were 14-2 last year. They've got a defensive upgrade with Calais Campbell. Got Patrick Queen in the first round of the draft. What a great move. I love Matt Judon. You know, he's like one of my favorite players in the NFL. Got Marcus Peters back there. That defense is stacked.
Stacked.
The offense is stacked. They got J.K. Dobbins who could help that running game as well. There's a lot to like about this team that won 14 games last year, and the over-under this year is 11.5.
Whoa. That's where it's at?
11.5.
I was expecting it to be a higher number and be easier.
So now you think that you're being tricked. It's like it's almost so low that you're like, what am I missing?
I was going to go. I thought you were going to say it's like 13. I thought maybe you'd say 12.5, something like that, where I was just going to go under. I'm going under. I'm going to go under anyways.
Wow.
11-5?
Why?
11. I could see them going to 11-5. One, because I think their division's going to be better. Big Ben's back.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So you don't get two wins against Pittsburgh.
True.
I think Cleveland's going to be the real deal, or at least certainly better, you know? And then Cincinnati, I think, is going to be a pain in the butt, too. So I look at it from that. And then my other thing is this, Ahmed. It took the league by storm last year.
Right.
You're fucking crazy if you don't think every team in football, especially the teams that got Baltimore on their schedule, haven't looked at, like, how are we going to defend this fucking Lamar Jackson and this offense this year. So I think teams will be a little bit more ready for it as compared to last year. And I don't know, in my gut or heart, like, I could see them being like in a Chiefs team. The Chiefs were the number one seed 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And then, we hit a few blips in the road, and we ended up the number two seed, and not as good as the year before, but we won the Super Bowl. Like, I could see the Ravens being that, like being the 2 or 3 seed this year, and then making a playoff run and getting in the Super Bowl. But I just think between that and, you know, having to play the schedule they have to play this year.
Yeah, Kansas City week 3, at Philly week 6, at New England week 10, Dallas week 13. So, I mean, that's what happens. You look at the same thing. With Kansas City. I mean, you have a good year the previous season. You're going to have a tougher schedule the next year.
No doubt.
Tough
and you're going to play the AFC South, which is 3-caliber, like, playoff teams with the Texans, the Colts, and the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans, we know how they match up with them.
Yeah.
And then, honestly, I even look at the NFC East and go, yeah, I know they're better. But the NFC East, like the Cowboys and the Eagles, they match up good with the Ravens. They're not going to be, like, overpowered by that team. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, I'm looking for just a little bit of a letdown from the Ravens. It's hard to emulate 14-2 2 years in a row, plus some teams being better around them. And, yeah, them probably not being the number one seed, but a big pain in the ass and, like, you know, getting to the playoffs, and they could go to the Super Bowl. I'm just going to go under with the 11.5.
Prop bet, Lamar Jackson had 1,206 rushing yards last year. Does he go over or under that
under.
This year?
If he gets to that this year, he's either just broken some long runs where I go, whoa, the guy's unreal,
Do you think they will want to run him less?
No. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Definitely. And then, well, why wouldn't you when you have J.K. Dobbins in the mix now?
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah.
You know, Lamar should just be the ultimate decoy and the ultimate. Here's 8 or 9 rushes a game, and whoa, he had 8 or 9 rushes for 80 something yards. Like that would be something I could see happening.
I'm going over.
I'm going over.
You've lost faith in the Ravens. 11.5. I'm going over. I still have faith in Lamar Jackson. Thank you very much.
That's a tough one. I was expecting a higher number there.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm hoping, is that you expected a higher number. You were planning to go under. So even when the number was low, you still had to, you were boxed in. You were boxed in. You couldn't get out. But you made good reasons there.
Yeah, we'll see.
Valid points. Steelers, 8-8 last year. Of course, they did it basically without Big Ben Roethlisberger, Mason Rudolph, Devlin Hodges were the backups. They're still the backups now. Got some good skill guys. You got defense with stars. I mean, I was looking at this defense last year.
Right.
And I think at the time, I mean, you obviously knew it, but I don't know if the casual fan knew how dominant that defense was. It was just the offense was so bad that we almost dismissed it. I was looking at some of it. They were 3rd in yards per play last year, 1st in the NFL in sacks per pass attempt last year, 2nd in interceptions per pass attempt last year, 1st in quarterback pressures, 5th best in goal-to-goal situations. I mean, like, basically every category you looked at.
They're top.
They were good.
Yeah.
So their number this year is 9.5. Before I hear yours, I'm going over. I'm just immediately going over because I think Big Ben comes back. That defense is already great. 9.5, I say over. What you say, Chris?
I'm going with you. I am too. You know, I expect Pittsburgh to be one of those teams who didn't make the playoffs last year that makes the playoffs this year. I do. Yeah, and I think, you know, of course Big Ben's worth, you know, some wins. And if he stays healthy and all of that, you know. But, yeah, Eric Ebron at tight end, you know, 2nd and 3rd year for some younger receivers, you know, like the Deontay Johnsons or the kid from Oklahoma State, Washington. Of course, you know, mm-hmm. the Chase Claypool. We've talked all about that. But I think the big thing is the defense.
Yeah.
You know, they don't – to what you're saying, they didn't need much offense. If they just got a little offense last year, I mean –
Well, they were 8-8.
I mean, I that's know. The, Who that's knows like, where you're it going, goes.
Wait, what if Ben gets hurt? Well, he did last year, and they were 8-8.
Right.
So it's like you don't have to – your imagination doesn't have to run wild to see how they can get 9.5.
No. I mean, you know, they lost to the Jets 16-10. They lost to the Bills 17-10. They lost to the Browns 21-7. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they lost some games. The Ravens in overtime by 3. You know, the 49ers by 4, where you just go, if Big Ben is out there, I just – You know, at least half of those are wins. Mm-hmm. And
you think he can come back and be what he was before?
Like,
I mean, these are some injuries. They're piling up, right?
They
this
are.
Was
He's a beat-up guy.
This was an elbow, right?
Yeah, elbow. Yeah. Torn some ligaments there. Now, you know, 2 years ago, let's not forget how awesome he was. He was awesome 2 years ago. You know, I mean, yards, touchdowns, big-time throws. So, I expect a really good year from Big Ben. I do. I would be shocked. And, yeah, I expect Pittsburgh to be a major player in the AFC playoff conversation.
We will have that conversation where you pick your actual playoff teams,
yeah.
division winners.
Next week. Right.
Over. We're both going over for Steelers.
Yeah.
Browns, 6-10 last year. Baker Mayfield was not good. 2nd worst interception percentage in the NFL to Jameis Winston last year was Baker Mayfield. So they turned it over a lot. They did sign Jack Conklin,
yeah.
trying to protect him a little bit more. Austin Hooper, you like him.
I do.
Right? Nick Chubb, we liked him.
Drafted the tight end. I mean, the tackle in the first round.
Yeah.
From Alabama.
Yep, that's right. And so you got Kevin Stefanski there now. New eyes.
What's the number at, though?
8.5.
Gosh, damn. Fucking A. This is hard. This is quite arguably the best division of football this year. I think you're going to be able to make this argument with the NFC West this year. I'm going to go over.
Ooh, I think that's the AFC West, which you're going to do in a little bit later on, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. The NFC West, too. It's hard.
That's true.
I had this conversation. Well, we had this conversation with my dad on the podcast a little Thursday.
Yeah.
Just how many damn teams you look at right now and go, man, there's a lot of good players on every team. So it's 8.5.
Eight and a half for the Browns. Yeah, that seems high.
Gosh.
Doesn't it? Because you want to have faith in the Browns. You want to be like, hey, I think Baker can turn it around. You love Odell. He can have a comeback year.
I could see Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Baltimore, or 10-6, 9-7.
I
would not be shocked. I really wouldn't. That's why I want to go the over with Cleveland too.
What? Wow.
I do.
Okay.
I do. I look at Cleveland and I think we know the roster is phenomenal.
Yeah.
The only question we had was O-line, really. Okay, that's been fixed. I mean, it should be with the talent they have there. And I really think the scheme and the coaching they have goes in there actually fits their roster better than the last scheme and coaching did.
Hmm.
So, you know, like you've probably heard me say, but with Stefanski, the Minnesota scheme, all that, run the ball, boots,
play
and play action.
Yeah.
Shit, Baker Mayfield's, he's more gifted than Kirk Cousins in all those areas, let alone he's going to have better talent around him. And arguably a better running back, too. I mean, Nick Chubb's a beast. And then defense, I mean, you that defensive line, are you kidding me? Olivier Vernon, Sheldon Richardson, Miles Garrett, because it's
you don't
a
want
special,
to make them mad. You don't want them to come after you.
It's a special front four, you know. So, yeah, I'm going with the over there. I could also, I mean, listen, this is we're having fun, whatever.
Yeah.
I could see them being 8-8 and being a
sure.
7 seed in the playoffs, too. I mean, I wear that, but I'm going to go, yeah, they're 9-7. You know, and let's dissect.
Well, some of this, too, is you got to, you know, injuries are going to happen to all teams. You can't
right.
predict those, right? But part of it is in this year with COVID, you figure some people might get test positive. You lose them for a week or two. So I think depth does matter more this year than maybe in years past.
Definitely.
And the fact that you have, you know, Case Keenum to back up Baker Mayfield. You've always liked Case Keenum there. That mitigates some of that downside risk. And so I can see liking them. You're going to look at the schedule here?
Yeah, I mean, the schedule, Baltimore week one, not easy. Got the Bengals and then the Washington football team.
Okay.
You know, so
2-1 maybe?
Yeah, they could be 2-1, certainly. I mean, I can sit here right now and go, no, they should beat the Bengals in Washington. Their roster is better. You know, I know it's not that easy always to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, after that, it gets a little tough. I mean, you got to go at Dallas Cowboys, Indianapolis Colts, Pittsburgh Steelers. So, hey, this will be a big year for the Cleveland Browns. They're going to see if they're battle-tested and tough to win some of these football games. But I'm going to bet on yes, I am.
They got a new defensive coordinator,
Joe Woods
coming over from San Francisco with your boy Kyle. You know anything about him?
I do. I was Joe in Tampa in the days. Yeah, I know all about Joe. That's why I didn't get there to that. But that's what I mean. I think that his scheme, I think, is going to fit their defense better than what they've run the last few years, too. You know, I think they got a team that's, you know, I don't want to say it's San Francisco, but it's built that way.
Mm-hmm.
Some long corners, you know, Carl Joseph, fast safety. Oh, wait, and a front four that we can just send after people all day long. I mean, I'm kind of excited about that aspect of them.
So you're going to go over. I'm going to go under just because I feel like you can never lose money going the under on the Cleveland Browns. But
how far under you think you're, like, going there?
Not that far.
I know.
I think 6-10, what they were last year. I mean, but that does kind of seem like worst case scenario last year, right?
I think so.
Because we were talking about them last year being a potential playoff team. So 6-10 almost was worst case. And so that might be worst case this year again. So I don't know. That's a tough one. But I'll go under.
All right.
Just so we can disagree.
All right, fine.
I got a prop bet on that one.
Yeah.
Odell receiving yards or Nick Chubb rushing yards? Who has more? So Chubb had 1,400 rushing yards last year. Odell has had around 1,400 his first 3 years in New
last
York.
Year
last
year,
was just over 1,000.
Right? They got Kareem Hunt, too, as a runner, you know, which I would think he's going to get more carries and more work this year. I'm going to go with Odell this year.
Okay. So you think Odell will get a little bit of a bump from what he had last year?
I do.
And Chubb will come down.
I think Chubb will come down, and not because it'll be any less, but I think, like, you know, what's the point of having two running backs? Why wear one into the ground? That's what I don't understand. You know, share the workload a little bit, and then when you get done here, you're going to be able to assess a year or two from now and go, okay, which one has a longer shelf life left? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's Nick Chubb. Okay, see you, Kareem Hunt. We can't pay you. We're going to pay Nick Chubb a little bit more money to be our running back for the next few years, and we didn't kill him because
right.
we shared some carries that way. But, yeah, I mean, gosh.
You like him.
I do.
Right.
I do.
Like
I like him. I mean, there's things to be excited about. Like we said, that O-line, the two tight ends they got more size at deep tackle, so we'll see.
It's like in fantasy football, that post-hype sleeper that you hear about sometimes where 1 year it's like everyone's about him, like, he's going to be great, and then they fail, and then everyone's like, they screwed me, and so they forget about him, and it kind of feels like the Cleveland Browns might be like that.
I feel like a little bit. Like last year was overhyped. Now this year everybody's like totally forgot about them, and I think they're pissed and have an edge about them, and I always think a new coaching staff with a concise plan is worth a few wins, and I do feel that way as much as I don't love Stefanski's offense.
Yeah.
You know, I do think it's actually a good fit for this football team. So, Pete, keep track of all the teams I stay over and under for, right?
He's keeping them in the rundown right
all
here.
All right, because I don't want to get done here. Like, you picked 16 overs.
I think you're pretty, you have, so far you have four overs and three unders. So
okay.
You're doing well.
All right, good.
This one's going to be interesting, though. Final team in the AFC North, the Bengals 2-14 last year.
What is it set at?
5.5.
Oof.
See, five wins shouldn't be that hard to get to in the NFL, right? Even bad teams.
No.
Get a couple turnovers here and there. Bad teams should win five games. Offense could be fun.
Offense could be a lot of fun. It really can be. You know, defense is the question.
Defense could be fun for other teams.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
You look at Cincinnati, and as I pull up their team here and just like look at everything about them, like, okay, you know, first off, on the defensive side of the ball, hey, got some additions, you know, Trey Waynes out for the year. Mackenzie Alexander, that's good. Von Bell at safety. You know, got DJ Reader to help out. Mm-hmm. My big thing, though, is like, is there enough difference makers on the defensive side of the ball? Mm-hmm. That's to where I just don't know. Plus, yeah, I'm not like sitting here going, oh, the scheme's special, so they'll be able to figure it out. I'm going to go under. I think it's going to be a really exciting 5-11 football team. You know, and again, I'm saying 5. Would I be shocked if they went 6-10? No. Would I be shocked if they went 7-9? Yeah, I'd be starting to get in the shock
zone. Especially in that
then.
Division.
Yeah, don't think they're there yet. I think they're going to be a lot of like, wow, that was a great game between Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow just came up short. That was a great game by Joe Burrow and Baker Mayfield. Joe Burrow just came up short. It was a great game against Ben Roethlisberger. They just came up short. It was fun. AJ Green bombs and Joe Mixon runs. But, ultimately.
35-28. It was a great game.
I think you could see some of that, definitely.
Because the receiving core, we've talked about it before, is one of the deepest in the NFL.
Right?
A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, John Ross, T. Higgins, who you liked in the draft.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's
pretty strong.
That's going to be a fun offense
Erickson,
to watch.
Erickson, right? They got him at receiver there, too. Number 19. Is Erickson in there? He's still in there, right? Is that there? You're not looking at the depth chart?
I'm not at the depth chart.
Oh, okay. Fine. Screw, don't look.
I've got like two screens up right here.
Erickson is there. Yeah, good.
I just checked it. All right, so you're going
under.
Under. I'll go under as well.
Okay.
I'll go under as well, just because they haven't done the rebrand yet.
I was going to bring that up. I'm glad you did it. They went rebrand.
This will be the final season that will convince them to get rid of the stripes.
There's no way. It's not happening.
I think if it goes south, if it like starts to taint Joe Burrow, they'll consider it.
I was at the Combine and interviewed Zach Taylor. And brought this up, okay? And there was a member of the Brown family there going around that day with Zach Taylor. And I was shot down in a hurry after that.
Immediately they were.
No way that's happening. Our specials, our helmet's very special to us. So I was led to believe that was not going to happen.
So maybe they need a decade more of losing get to that point.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
All right, cool. So two divisions down, two to go here. We got the AFC South, and this one seems like a very even division except for one team. The Jaguars got Texans, right. Titans, Colts. Don't know who's going to walk away with it. But last year it was the Texans. They were 10-6. They lost DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And they're over-under pretty low. I'm surprised.
Yeah, how
7.5.
Ooh.
So 7.5 for a team that won 10 games last year and still has Deshaun Watson.
Hey, I'm not saying playoffs for this team. I'm not saying that. I don't know that yet, but I'm going to go over 7.5. I am.
You think the offense will be better than it was last year?
I do. I'm going to stand by that. I do. I think it's going to be a fun, exciting offense. I think they've gotten it figured out. Yeah, I like the receiving group. You know, the O-line, I like what they got there. You know, and then, of course, running back, we'll see. We'll see what David Johnson's got in the tank and all that. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch here. The big thing is going to be their defense. Mm-hmm.
Does it come down to the health of J.J. Watt? I mean, is really that because I was looking at his games played last 4 years. You go back 4 years ago, he had 3, then 5, then 16, and then 8
right.
last year.
And that year he had 16, he had a good year, right? It was like 16 sacks that year, 16 and a half,
He's
something like that.
He's on the field. He's really good. But last year's defense was tied with the Bengals for the worst in yards given up per play.
That's the question. You know, and I know they gave Zach Cunningham a ton of money yesterday, linebacker. That's awesome. You know, he's one of those linebackers he deserves to be paid like that. You know, he's a guy that stays on the field all three downs and can do anything, can cover. He's one of the better cover linebackers in football. That's why they paid him that money. So you got that. You know, but yeah, the defense is an issue. J.J. Watt getting hurt would be a big blow to their football team. Who's a difference maker up front? They lost DJ Reader.
Yeah.
Clowney's been gone. You know, we've talked about, the other pass rusher they have from Philadelphia. Holy cow.
Hold on, I'm pulling up the teams.
Yep, I'm pulling up the teams. It's killing me here. Whitney Mercilus.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you, Pete. Yes. Whitney Mercilus. Mm-hmm. Okay, so him being there and he's not the same player he was a few years ago. So that's what I do worry about. So, I 7.5, that's where it's
Ross
at.
Ross Blaylock on the
– liked him a lot.
You did like him in the draft. They got him in the second round.
He's a disruptor.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
But 7.5, yeah, for a team that won 10 games last year.
I'm going to go over. I think it's – again, I don't know. If they could go 8-8, 9-7 and miss out on the playoffs, I'm not sure if I'm ready to put in the playoffs yet. I think what I'm saying is the worst I could see it doing is 7-9.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bet that Deshaun wins that one extra game because
sure.
he's Deshaun freaking Watson, and he'll figure it out.
I'm with you.
It's tough.
I think this is kind of like the Browns where the hate has gone too far. It was like they've
it
talked
is.
About for the last 2 years how Bill O'Brien is a bad GM. But the window is clearly now. They want to win now.
Yes.
And so they've put everything to winning now. And
it's just going to all be about all that offense.
Yeah.
We're going to see an offense unleashed. That's why week one can be a blast.
Yeah.
I mean, them versus the Chiefs, you know, they might actually – the Chiefs might score 51 again like they did in the playoffs, but mm-hmm. this time the Texans might score 48. Mm. You know, I think they could have a really fun offense to watch.
All right. What about the Tennessee Titans? They had a fun offense to watch down the stretch last year because they just – if you like the running game – went 5-2 down the stretch. They finished the year 9-7. They went 5-2 down the stretch with 188 yards rushing per game. Compare that to their first seven games. They went 3-4, rushing 102 yards per game. So they turned it on. Playoffs, they beat New England, beat Baltimore, lost to Kansas City in a shootout in a game where they had the lead early. So they really finished strong,
yes,
right?
They
had all the momentum at the end of the year. 9 wins last year. It is 8.5 is
Ooh.
The over-under.
8.5. Wow. Yeah, see, this is a division where I could see. I mean, they're going to beat each other up a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't expect them to be a 12-4, an 11-5 type football team. I don't. But wow.
So here, their offense, you know, with Ryan Tannehill here this year, so their offense last year was 12th in yards per game, but 4th in yards per play.
Yeah.
They were 1st in yards per passing play. They just didn't run as many plays as other teams.
No, they did
out
not.
There.
But
so
that's, he
they
capitalized.
Were efficient. They
yeah.
were super efficient.
Right, that's what we talked about a lot last year, if you remember. He didn't leave any yards on the field.
Yep.
If a guy was open by 3 inches, 60 yards down the field, he threw the ball within that 3-inch window, and they capitalized on it.
They had the best red zone defense or offense in the NFL last year.
Wow.
Scored touchdowns 75% of the time ahead of Baltimore, who was second.
I'm a little torn with them. I really am. But I think ultimately I got to go over here. I do.
Yeah, I do too. I think so.
I do. Is the offensive line going to be as good as last year? No, probably not with Jack Conklin being gone.
Right. I know they drafted Luan and Saffold. And
still a lot of good.
Ben
right.
Jones.
Yeah, that's a lot of damn good. You know, the right tackle position is just going to be a new guy over there. And we'll be the
Isaiah
rookie from
Wilson?
Georgia.
Isaiah
yeah, I don't
Wilson.
Know if it'll be him or not. You know, but yes, the running game, the receiver, they got a good under-the-radar tight end.
Defense is a question a little bit, right?
Defense is a question in the fact of, like,
Vic Beasley, but he's not there.
Pass rushers. That's the thing. That's their biggest issue. That's what I worry about with them. You know, they can't even formulate a pass rush with four people. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. And at times it makes them have to do things on the defensive side of the ball I think that they don't want to do because they have to blitz and do things like that just to create some pressure. So... I think that I look at this, and Vic Beasley's a big question mark. I mean, I don't even know where we stand with this right now.
Yeah, he wasn't there, and then he was hurt, and then...
He's there, and I think there's still a sense that he might leave, that he's got other things on his radar in life that are concerned, that I've been told. I'm not going to say what they are publicly, but I've been heard he's got some... He's thinking about doing something else in life. So that'll be interesting to see where that goes. Now, the other thing with them, which I think gives me the final nudge to say, I'm giving it the over... And again, it's 8.5, right?
Yep.
And I don't, again, just the division's too good to where I could see this being a little like it's a lot of 10-6, 9-7 with those top three teams. But Broncos, Jaguars, Vikings early on, you know, I mean, that's favorable for them. I do. Yeah. They got a chance to start out 2-3-0. Yeah, 2 or 3-0 for sure.
So here's a prop for you.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill last year in his 10 starts had 260 yards per game. Does he go over or under that this year? Do they throw more with Ryan Tannehill than they did last year?
I do believe they will, yes. I think they will throw more with Ryan Tannehill. And I just think, like, again, I don't know if the offensive line will be as dominant. I think with him being in year two in the system, not coming in to take over from Mariota in week six or whatever it was, right, that'll give them the confidence to – you know, open up the attack a little bit more in the pass game.
And I'm excited what he can do with A.J. Brown, too. I think that combination
special
is one of the more exciting combinations in all of football, I feel like.
It is. To me, that'll be the – I'm glad you brought it up. To me, is the big question is just who's going to be that next guy in the passing offense that shows up?
It was supposed to be Adam Humphries, right?
They didn't find that. No, I mean, they just never found the niche. And I believe he was banged up a little early in the year last year, too. Corey Davis, who's a top, you know, five pick, he's never lived up to that billing. You know, Jonnu Smith is the guy I look at to be watch out for him this year.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it's an offense that I think fits what a good tight end can take advantage of. And Jonnu Smith is like a Delaney Walker, you know, can block, but I think can be like really scary with the ball and make some things happen there.
Okay. So I'm starting to get worried here though.
Yeah.
Cause you go over Texans, you go over
I don't
Titans.
Feel so bad though, because some of these overs are like,
lower.
Oh, 7.5, eight wins.
True.
You know what I mean? So
that's
it's not like I'm picking like the teams to go like 12-4. Every team's 12-4 and 10-6.
But I know you like the Colts though.
I do.
And so the Colts last year were 7-9.
Yep.
But now they got Phillip Rivers.
Right.
Got a great offensive line.
Yep.
Got Michael Pittman in the draft, that wide receiver. You like him. You like Jonathan Taylor, running back. So they got weapons.
They do. Potential of weapons.
Yeah, defense, you got DeForest Buckner.
Yeah.
That helps in the front there. Xavier Rhodes from the Vikings. Okay, so they won 7 last year. The over-under this year, a little high, 9.5.
Woo!
I knew this was
going to
give you trouble.
I'm going over, though. The Colts are my – I'm picking the Colts to go to the playoffs, just so you know. All right, so let's just get that out of the way in case you wanted to know next week. They're going in the playoffs for me.
If you're listening – if you're going to listen next week, forget that Chris said that. It'll ruin the surprise. Okay. So you think that this is a – Phillip Rivers goes in there and improves him enough to where
– Yes, I do.
Defense has improved enough.
Yep, hopefully.
I mean, I liked him last year,
running
too.
Running backs, T.Y. Hilton – Hopefully Paris Campbell can stay healthy and show he was worth that second round pick. I'm extremely excited about him. Michael Pittman Jr., I know he's a beast and tough. Mm-hmm. You know, other receivers on their roster who are also very good. You know, there's really, on offense, I have no question. Defense, I only question the secondary. Okay. All right? That's the only area I look at. I think they're going to, you know, great linebacking duo and Darius Leonard and Walker. D-line is deep and versatile as hell. Yeah, corner, secondary, that's a little scary. That's a different conversation. You know, other than Moore, they don't really have a really quality corner, in my opinion. Mm. And the safety play is a little average, too. Now, the thing that makes me feel, like, somewhat good about it, all right, is their schedule. You know, they're not playing the most high-octane passing attacks early in the year. When you get to start off with the Bears, the Jets, the Vikings, and the Jaguars, I mean, the Vikings are the most high-octane passing attack out of that group right there, and they're not high-octane. So
that's a good early schedule.
Right, it's a very good
at
early
Bears,
schedule.
At Browns, Bengals, man, at Lions,
you know?
Wow.
So I don't know. I look at their matchups, and when I first looked at this and just went, ooh, they fit their team. They're not necessarily teams early on in the schedule that I think are going to be able to take advantage of some of the weaknesses that the Colts do have.
Pete saying if you go by the Vegas win totals, Colts have by far the easiest early schedule.
I've heard that, right. Which that helps when you're a new team.
So you're
kind of getting used to it. So, Dan,
so
did I go over on everybody in the AFC South except for the Jaguars, right?
Yeah, so I'll go over as well. We're agreeing a lot here, but you make a good point. Because Texans was 7.5.
I know.
And then Titans was 8.5. You're like, I think they're going to be. And then Colts 9.5, but we like them. We can see 10 wins easily. And even if, you know, I brought this up for a couple of teams, the downside risk, right? And if you lose Phillip Rivers, if he gets hurt or tests positive or whatever, you got Jacoby Brissett there.
No doubt.
And he's capable.
No
doubt. As a backup and can hand the ball off. And so I'll go over as well, which means we have to go under on the Jaguars, right? So Jaguars last year, 6-10. They are getting rid of everybody. We talked about them at length at the top of the pod. 4.5 is the over-under.
See, that's where it's not fair, like, because I can go, oh, they're going to be 5-11.
Yeah, and just do another. Well, you can do that if
I know.
Think they can win five. I mean, but they have, you know, defense, they've ripped it apart.
Ripped it apart.
Although they signed, what, Joe Schobert, 5 years, $53 million. They go, be our defense. We're going to give you that much money because you are the only guy out there.
Him and Miles Jack will be a great combo at linebacker.
It's like Hoosiers, right? Team is on the field. It's like those two guys. That'll just be it.
Those two guys, the two pass rushers, and, you know, Henderson at corner. Yeah. That's it. But there's some young talent to be really excited about.
Okay.
I do.
Do you have to say that, or is it? Do you feel that that's
no,
true?
No, I really do. I mean, Caleb on Chaseon, I love
you do
it.
Like
I
him.
Love
yes.
C.J. Henderson
you
who
like
they drafted.
Them.
I thought C.J. Henderson was more talented than Jeff Okuda, who, you know, I know is limited in practice, but, like, they still haven't said he's going to be a starter there yet. So I just want to be like, well, there's a problem there. You know, number three picks, if they're not starting right now, then I don't know. You might have messed up the number three pick. I'm going to go under. I am.
You're
I mean, I could see them being 5-11. I mean, yeah, but I you know, yeah, 4-12 is where I see them at. I do. You know, I'm not sold. There's just too many things I don't know about. Offensive line, yeah, there's a little potential. Yeah, there's a little potential for Gardner Minshew. Yeah, they got receivers that kind of scare me, but I don't know how good Gardner Minshew is yet. You know, the running back situation, we'll see where that goes. You know, I would expect Raquel Thompson to take over for Leonard Fournette here as we do that. You know, defensively, yeah, the defensive line's going to be a pain in the ass and things like that. I just don't know if there's enough to go around there.
Who do you think is going to take over for Fournette? Chris Thompson?
I was going to say Raquel Thompson. I think Chris Thompson will be like Armstead, excuse me. Yeah.
I was like,
Chris Thompson, you cheated.
I was like, you made him one man.
Well, you know how I like to add two things together.
I was
there.
Like, you cannot be wrong there. You put them both in there.
But I like Raquel Armstead coming out in the draft a whole lot. And, you know, Chris Thompson's an unbelievable third down, change of pace type back. So, yeah, I guess that's about where the defensive line really good. Front seven, pretty damn good. But secondary is underwhelming to me.
Problem.
Yeah.
So I'll go under as well. Because if a team wants to lose, let them, you know, and don't argue with them. And so I think that's ultimately, not that they want to lose, but they don't see any upside in Who knows if there's a valuable piece that emerges
Trevor Lawrence,
the year.
A quarterback, maybe they want him. That's what a lot of people think is going on here.
But I don't think they're done trading players either. Like, I think if there's a useful player that pops up who another team wants, you'd entertain that offer. Why wouldn't you at this point?
Well, I get that totally. They're running out of players to trade here, but regardless, they're a team that's in rebuild mode.
Yeah.
And I like some of those young guys, but they're not ready for prime time yet.
Final division. So that was tough.
That was
a tough one. This one I think might be – I think this one's going to be difficult too, actually.
Oh, it is.
So we got Chiefs, Broncos, Raiders, and Chargers in the AFC West. We'll start with the Chiefs, 12-4 last year. Basically kept the whole team together, locked them up long-term for a lot of their guys, Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. Got Matthew on the defensive side, signed through 2021. So this is a team that is built for next year, the year after that. They got stability, 12 wins last year. They are over under 11.5.
Whoa, 11.5. I'm going over. I am. Yeah. You've heard me. I just think this is going to be like the pressure's off, and you're just going to see the Kansas City Chiefs swag and – like, they're going to relish this.
But sometimes if you don't have that urgency, you go, oh. And
that's what my dad argues. If you listen to my dad, he would argue, what's motivating them this year? Well, I don't know. Sometimes great players, they don't always need motivation. Yeah. I mean, Tom Brady didn't need to be motivated for the last 19 years. I get it.
What might motivate him more is that you only get one bye in the playoffs now.
Certainly.
So you have to have that best record.
I don't think there's any more question anymore of can we win? Can we win with a young quarterback? It's all got Andy Reid. Can he win a Super Bowl? It's all over. It's all going to be like, just show your ass this year. Hey, we're really fucking good. We got confidence. Let's be tough. And then, I think the thing is Clyde Edwards-Helaire going to make them better.
Yeah.
Mecole Hardman's going to be better this year, okay? They got the kid Willie Gay Jr. from Mississippi State at linebacker. He adds another dimension to their defense. But don't forget about this, too. Like, during the Super Bowl run, Juan Thornhill, their starting safety, he got hurt. He missed the playoff run. He'll be back. That's great. Mm. Breland Speaks, a second-round pick from 3 years ago. He didn't play much last year. So, Okafor on the defensive side of the ball, defense and linebacker type. He was hurt last year. So I think they have other guys, too, where I look at it and go, wait, they went to the Super Bowl and had some, pretty valuable pieces get hurt last year that are, almost like free agent signings this year. There you go, whoa, they're back in the mix. So I just, when I look at it like that, yeah.
Tough schedule. Like we mentioned with Baltimore, you finished with such a great record last year. You're going to get nailed the next year. They got Houston week one, at Baltimore week three, New England week four, at Buffalo week six, at Tampa week 12, at New Orleans week 15. So there are some.
The first five, six, they're all legit.
First game is against the Texans on
Sunday Night Football on NBC. Right.
We have to say that.
Well, I also think that's a tough schedule.
I'll go over too.
You're going to go over?
I'll go over.
You feel like they're going to ride the wave?
I think so. 11.5 doesn't, 12 wins doesn't seem
crazy.
I would be shocked if they were 10-6, right?
That's how I look at it.
If they're 10-6 and you're shocked, then it seems like to get a
couple
more
wins. We didn't think they were that great in the regular season last year, and they went 12-4, right? It wasn't like
they didn't have Mahomes for 2.5 games,
right? Yeah. It wasn't a year that would jumped out to us where we're like, oh, man, right. 2 years ago, the regular season jumped out more than last year. So I'm with you. And I think a very underrated aspect of the Kansas City Chiefs, because I've watched the Super Bowl from last year.
Multiple times. Every time we meet, I was like, I was watching the Super Bowl again.
It's hard for me to not watch those things. And then the playoff run, I watched it all again. The one thing I always walk away from Kansas City games going, we don't give them enough credit for this, is their physicality. Because we look at them as this passing, throw it around, all that. But their defense and offensive line are physical. They throw their body around. They match the 49ers' physicality in the last quarter of that Super Bowl. Nobody really did that all year to the 49ers. Wow. So I just there's a lot to like, I guess.
Prop bet for you. Their offense scored 28.2 points per game last year. That was fifth in the NFL. They were behind Baltimore, San Francisco, New Orleans, Tampa Bay. Over-under, will they have 30 points per game? They were 28.2 last year. Will that offense take a step forward?
So they will. Yeah.
So Baltimore was the only team last year to have over 30 points per game. You think Kansas City will be that team?
I do. Yep. I think with You know, of course, we know health and all that. But like I said, with Mecole Hardman and Edwards-Helaire, mm-hmm. I think Hardman takes that next step. Let's see if Sammy Watkins can stay freaking healthy.
Yeah.
But between that, yes, I think this is going to be next level shit this year.
So the three teams behind them in the division are all three teams that are got things to like about all three of them. And I think you could argue all three of them could be a playoff team if everything breaks right for them. We'll start with the Broncos, who were 7-9 last year. They got second year now, Drew Lock, hoping he's the real deal. Got a receiver in Cortland Sutton you really like. Jerry Jeudy they got in the draft. KJ Hamler, a receiver. It's got wheels. You like him. Noah Fant. They got some weapons on offense.
Yeah.
And you got a defense anchored by Von Miller, Justin Simmons. Jarrell Casey comes over now. Bradley Chubb. So you got stars on defense.
Yeah.
7-9 last year. Over under is 7.5.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
What if I go over under is 1.1? And then you're like, okay. Oh, yeah, that's easy. I'm going to go first.
Go. Over. Please do.
I like the Broncos a lot.
I do, too.
I'm over. I'm over on them.
I like the Broncos a whole lot, too. I think the only thing I worry about with the Broncos at all is just a little bit of, like, maybe that Cleveland Browns effect from, like, last year, where it's just like everybody's talking, we're supposed to be great.
That's true.
We're great. You know, we got these receivers now, and all of a sudden we're in the great category.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the only area in which I look at them and just go, ugh.
How's the offensive line protecting Drew Lock?
Yeah.
They did get Graham Glasgow.
Right. Good signing.
That helps.
Yeah.
But do they have – he'll need time.
Yeah. They need the left tackle, but he's still got to improve. They lost Juwan James with COVID-19 opt-out. So that's a big question mark. And, yeah, they got Melvin Gordon on the running back position now and all that. And they got one of the best O-line coaches in the game. So, like, I'm really on the fence with this team. I am, you know, because I expect them to be better, no doubt. I could see them being 8-8 or even 9-7 and maybe just making it as a seventh seed or just missing out, something like that. Ooh.
Wow. This one's physically paining you.
It is. It's really a tough one there.
This is tough.
I'm also trying to balance schedules in my head here a little bit and be like, does that make sense that if I have that many over or that many under?
Well, I'll say that last year they had the best red zone defense in the NFL. They gave up touchdowns only 39% of the time. You may see that as a positive. You also might see that as a negative, as if, you know, that's not repeatable coming into this year. Like, they'll probably regress to the mean.
I know, but Bradley Chubb's going to be
back.
That's
a good defense. I know. It's a good defense. Let me.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over. I'm going over.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8 overs so far, and 9 overs now, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 on.
Okay.
5 unders.
All right.
You're getting close, so the Raiders are going to have to go under. So you go over on the Broncos. I did, too. We got Raiders, so they were, just like the Broncos, were 7-9 last year. This is a put up or shut up year for Chris Sims on Derek Carr. You are pumping him up. You're thinking he has more to give. We'll see if he can prove you right this year. Offensively, a lot to like again. Offensive line, we've liked them. Rodney Hudson, Trent Brown, you like them. Weapons with Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller, tight end. Henry Ruggs flies.
Yeah.
Brian Edwards, great receiver out of the draft, too. The question is defense for them. They signed 13 players in free agency, so they had 7 wins last year. Over-under is 7.5 this year.
Jeez, 7.5 again, huh? I mean, it's just, I feel like every damn one is 7.5, 7.5, 7.5.
For all the teams that are like 8-8 teams, it seems like, yeah, 7.5.
Yeah, well, it's another, like, fringe football team here. Right? I think my big thing will be this. I'm going to go under. You know, I am. I'm excited about them. I love Josh Jacobs, the O-line special. I'm really rooting for Derek Carr in so many ways. I really am. I think my big thing with them would still be the defense, and that's why I can't do it. I just don't know if there's enough special there quite yet.
So last year they were hard to run on.
Yes.
But they were terrible against the pass.
Right.
And they had the worst interception rate in the NFL last year. And which has been a weird problem for them for a long time now.
Yeah.
It's like, for whatever reason, the defense is just, it's not only not been good, it's hurt them It's really hurt them, and it's been, I think, the main reason why they've gone through this prolonged struggle since they made the playoff.
I think it's fair. I mean, the big thing is, they can't get a guy that's going to pass rush and create the quarterback to throw the ball too fast other than Crosby, right? I mean, they were one of those teams I told you about that sounded like they were in the conversation for Yannick Ngakoue for a little bit.
Sure.
Because they realized they need another pass rusher, another difference maker. You know, and then you look at corner, like, okay, yeah, I like Trayvon Mullen when he came out of Clemson, certainly. But, I think safety, the secondary itself, Prince Amukamara, okay, I like him, but I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, that's a difference maker. Jonathan Abram coming back from his injury, that's good. Demarius Randall's had a very up and down career. You know, and I guess that's what I look at. When I look at their defense, they've improved it. I just don't think there's difference makers there. I don't. And I think that's ultimately kind of what scares me about them altogether. And pain in the butt for a lot of teams, but I'm going to go under.
I'll go under as well.
Yeah.
Which means that we've agreed now for, I think, the last eight picks.
The last eight picks?
Or nine.
Yeah.
That's super boring. That's bad. But how can you? I mean, it's just like, tough division for – you got to pick one of these teams that you don't think is going to be able to pull through. I mean, maybe they will. John Gruden can figure something out on offense, make them that dynamic, and put themselves in favorable situations where they have a lead. And then you just got to try to bend but don't break. And so there are ways that it could happen, but I'm going to go under as well. Final team in the AFC, and it is the Chargers, who were 5-11 last year, although they've been boosted by Ahmed Fareed giving them a top five roster in the NFL. So that gives them some confidence.
Yep.
So automatically, since I have done that, I have to go over no matter what the number is. And the number is 7.5, and I will go over. But they were 5-11 last year. It really fell apart last year. And it's weird with the talent they have. You know, Joey Bosa. It's just Melvin Ingram. And then you figure, how did that Keenan Allen, Austin Ekeler on the offensive side with Philip Rivers, veteran quarterback. The offensive line has been an issue for a while. And so that hurt them. Might still be an issue.
Yeah, we got Bulaga. They traded for Trey Turner. So hopefully that can help. They need one of these other guys that was part of the rotation at tackle last year to kind of come through for them as a football team. The defense, we're going to be without Derwin James, it looks like, for the first part of the year there. But still, there's so much special throughout the defense.
Desmond King, Chris Harris, Casey Hayward Jr.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty damn group, right? Rayshon Jenkins, he plays them. And Nasir Adderley was a second-round pick for them two drafts ago at safety. He's a true free safety. So I think he'll be in the mix there this year.
So they have talent.
Yeah.
But they have Tyrod as their quarterback.
Right. Have Tyrod as their quarterback, which is, means to me it's going to be a more conservative offensive approach, let alone, what do we have there? Mike Williams, he's banged up right now too, right, Pete? And Pete, how long do they expect Mike Williams to be out? So those are things that I look at. Now, their schedule early in the year, it's kind of like, I don't look at it either way and feel like, all right, we know the Chiefs are better, all right, but, hey, the Panthers,
Bengals are better.
Buccaneers, I'm not ready to just anoint the Buccaneers better than the Chargers yet. I understand the potential there and all that.
Sure.
But there's some easy wins there to be had for them, the Jets, the Dolphins. I mean, these are teams that, you could certainly sit here and go, no, they're more talented than them. I'm going to – it's 7.5 again, right?
7.5.
I'm going to go over. I am.
Okay. Believe in them.
Yeah.
You believe they can
– I don't know if I believe it's a playoff, playoff team, but I look at them to be that team where they're in the playoff conversation. Yeah, I do. Like 2 weeks left, and they might have to win the last two games of the year.
Yep. Pete noted that they were 6.5 over-under before I came out with my top five rosters. Podcast. And once I said that,
you
bumped them up a win. I swayed Vegas right there. Just one stat I looked up on the Chargers when I was doing my research on them. They blitzed on just 13% of plays last year. Lowest in the league, but had the fifth highest hurries per dropback. So it's a Bosa, and they got to the quarterback without having to blitz last year. I just
Linval Joseph's there.
Linval Joseph.
Don't forget Jerry Tillery was their first-round pick from 2 years ago. Well, he's going to be in second year now at Notre Dame, right? So they really got a chance to be a 49er-ish, and it's the same scheme. And Gus Bradley was with me in Tampa and played in Seattle to where, that's what they're building there. So What did I end up with? 10 overs and 6 unders?
You don't make me go back. It was about, yeah, that's right. Pete says that's right. We disagreed on only 4 teams, Patriots, Dolphins, Ravens, and Browns. That's a bummer. Okay, Pete wants to finish it off.
Yeah.
Our 3 best bets. So, like, if you were to make, or if you just have a couple, like, who are you most confident about from what we just did?
Just the over-under aspect of it.
Do you want to look? Do you want to look at
just let me look at the over-unders again, just to look where we're at here. Okay. I am most confident about, I think right off the bat, is I would probably say the Bills would be my first pick. 8.5 to me is just too low. 8.5 in a division where I'd go, they're the most talented team in the division. Mm-hmm. And the team that they're battling that out with is going through a quarterback and a severe roster change. And I go, they're definitely better than the Jets and the Dolphins. So, yeah, the Bills would be the first one I look at to go, that's too low. I like the Bills.
For your reasoning there, I'm going to go Patriots under 9.5 is one of my best bets.
You are. Yep. You think it's, okay. So like, you're going the old 9. Like, if they get in the playoffs, they're going to win. They're going to be like 9-7 or 8-8
kind
of
thing. I think so. Yeah, I can see it falling apart.
Okay. And then I think after that, the one I probably look at more, the Texans is interesting. I think I feel most confident, though, and I'm sorry to be stalling here more than anything.
You want to be right. So take as much time as you need.
I'm going to go with the Texans. I think 7.5 is too low. I feel very good to go. No.
8 wins for them.
Yeah, you can say all you want about Billy O'Brien, the GM. What I like about the Texans is, first of all, if his teams are always tough and physical, all right? Mm-hmm. And I do think that Deshaun Watson and that offense are going to be dangerous as hell. And I just have a hard time thinking, maybe they go 7-9, but I really think that, like, the floor is 8-8 for that football team.
So those are your 2 best bets.
I think so. Yep.
Okay.
Right, did I go over or under with the Jets? I went under with the Jets, right?
Yes. I'll have to go back and listen to the podcast.
Yep. All right.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to look at if any of them I look at as I want to, like, a do-over or anything like that. But, no, I think mine made sense the more I look at it.
I'd go Broncos for me. 7-9 last year, they're over under 7.5. I feel like they can take a step forward.
Yeah, go at least 8-8 or something. Yeah, I hear you. That was one of the teams I looked at, too. The Chargers were the other team I looked at.
Sure. All right, that's a good exercise.
Yeah, okay, good one. We got NFC on Thursday?
We got the NFC coming up on Thursday.
And like anybody out there listening to the show, if there's something else you want to hear more about these breakdowns, and like again, don't forget that we're going to be doing, the playoffs next week, so I'll do more in-depth stuff as far as why I think teams will make the playoffs and things like that. But if anybody wants to hear anything, just you know where to find us.
Yep. And coming up next,
not in this pod.
We're going to stop down.
Video.
We're going to clap. We're going to walk. You're going to walk over to the whiteboard.
Right.
And you're going to diagram up what the Patriots will do differently this year with Cam Newton.
Going to just show some things of what Cam Newton will bring to that offense and just how simple you could take one play with Cam Newton and I can show you how it can grow into a full-blown basically attack just from that one play to where you go, whoa. Okay, that's a lot to worry about with one play off of one play with one guy at quarterback. And that's what, these are things that I think the Patriots are going to have to balance out and what I'm excited about to watch Cam Newton there this year.
Take a 5-minute break.
Okay.
And then we'll do that again.
Sounds good, boss.
But in the meantime, we'll
clap it up.
That's it,
baby.
See you Thursday, everyone.
Woo, 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 woo. We'll be back on Thursday. Big Phil may or may not be back in the fold. He should be.
Ooh.
And then we'll do the NFC win over under.
Will he do some of that thing?
He'll jump in that.
Okay.
Like I said, that's the one thing that he said that to me last week. And it's the one thing when I went over these rosters a little last night and today, you're like, holy crap, there's a lot of good teams this year. It just seems like that. And we have no clue, thanks to preseason football. So that's great.
Yeah.
Guys like me can be as wrong as ever this year.
These are just suggestions. Do not take your hard-earned money and bet on any of this.
Yeah, all right. Peace out, everybody. Be good. Amin Fareed, Chris Sims, you the man, Amin. Peace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.